We are here today to serve God joyfully. Whether you come with sadness or whether you come with a sense of enthusiasm, we are here to help each other come to a place of joy into the presence of Almighty God. God makes that way possible through prayer, and today we will address what Jesus taught us about prayer. The word that Jesus speaks to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5. This is the word of the Lord. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Now, gracious God, may you speak to us in the power of your word through Jesus Christ in the community of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are in the midst of a series on Christian discipleship. What does Jesus expect of us as we have declared our desire to follow Jesus into the future when Jesus has invited us through the words, "Come and follow me"? In discipleship, in the classic sense, even as Jesus taught it, there are certain disciplines that are crucial to our pattern of life. We have looked at a time of solitude, a time of studying the Word of God, Bible study, and today we look at the pattern of prayer, a crucial discipline for every follower of Jesus to practice. I received a poignant email this week. It was a simple one which simply said, "Why should I pray if God already knows?" I'm sure it, in fact, is a question we have all wrestled with. We recognize that this past week, there has been in Washington, D.C., a great gathering of people from all over the world for the National Prayer Breakfast. This is considered a week of prayer in Washington, D.C. Why do we pray if God already knows? We desire to be a church of people who pray, because we believe that it is an important part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed to the Father. He prayed in quiet. He prayed alone. And in that model of his own prayer life, he taught the disciples to do the same. This is a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but in fact, it is the disciples' prayer. It is the prayer that we are to practice. It is a primer in prayer. It is not an advanced course. So if Jesus wants us to know the essentials of prayer, then what does he teach us in this model prayer? This prayer not only introduces us to prayer, but can take us, if we continue to pray this way, into prayerful maturity. It is a beginning and an ending place as we practice discipleship. What is prayer? Prayer is the conversation that each and every one of us can have alone with God. It is a two-way conversation. It is not just about what you and I say to God. It is also about what God has to say to us. It is both listening and talking. It is both speech and silence. It is asking questions of God. It is making requests. It is telling God our complaints, our frustrations, our lamentations. It is an adoration, a confession, a thanksgiving, and an intercession for other people. Prayer is everything that we will experience in relationship to God in that conversation. Every religion on the earth has some form of prayer. It is not unique to being Christian. Therefore, we must assume that prayer is something that literally grows out of the foundational instinct of our humanity. We are born and created to pray. If we do not, we are stifling the very essence of our humanity. In prayer, we affirm that there is someone who is listening. We affirm that that someone who is listening cares about a response to us. Our prayer counts. We assume that that one who is listening and is responsive to us is able to do something about our concern and desires better for us in life. Jesus himself taught about the importance of prayer, but he did say some things that prayer is not. For example, prayer is not the control of God, telling God what to do. Prayer is not using God as a valet service. God, I have a need for such and such and such and such. Will you please provide it? Prayer is not a laundry list, as if we are giving God the things that we need to have done for us, as if God were our slave. Prayer is not telling God what his plan should be. No, Jesus said that prayer is on God's terms. Prayer is not a public show. It is a secret relationship. It is not how much we pray or how many words we use. It is the essence of the truthful, authentic relationship that we have with God. And Jesus taught us to pray in secret. What do we do about public prayers? We practice public prayers every Sunday and in many other places around the city in our lives. But Jesus taught us to pray in private. This is the essence of the discipline of prayer. That we cannot be ones who rely upon other people's public prayers. Every one of us is a participant in prayer. It is by yourself, alone, in secret, without advertisement, no show and no performance. It is personal, intimate, and secret as a relational experience of God. Elijah, the great prophet of God, learned this in a tough place. He had done magnificent things and miracles in the name of Yahweh. And when he was in despair and alone and in retreat, when people were out hunting his head, he went up into a cave in the mountains and he discovered that God was not in the powerful stuff, the earthquake, the wind, and the fire, but God was in the silence, in the sheer, small, still voice. And so if you come today, like Elijah, recognizing that you have come to a place of exhaustion, come to a place of questions more than answers, where you do not have sufficient resources to be able to do the things that you need, to understand life as you should understand it, this is the place where God wants you to be. Because you need to pray. Do not pray Jesus said, like the heathen and the Gentile gods do, with lots of words, with public shows, with repetitive chants, with incantations, with necessarily formal processes of prayer, get right down to it in a raw reality. Do you have a relationship with the living God where you can call God Father? Alfred Lord Tennyson said this about this kind of prayer. There is a place where thou canst touch the eyes of blinded men to constant perfect sight. There is a place where thou canst say, arise, to dying captives bound in chains of night. There is a place where thou canst reach the store of hoarded gold and free it for the Lord. There is a place upon some distant shore where thou canst send the worker and the word. Where is that secret place, dost thou ask? Where, O soul, it is the secret place of prayer. When we are alone with God, it is there that God affirms that we are a child of God. Jesus said to address God as Father, for He is the Son of God, and He invites us in prayer to become sons and daughters of God. It is in secret prayer that you will have your validation of your familial relationship with the Father. You are family, you are special, you are a child of God because you have direct access to the Father. And in that prayer, Jesus went on to teach what we should ask for. And in that asking, there's always two sides to it. There's the request we made, but then there is the giving that God gives to us that is connected to the request. We ask, for example, that heaven should come to earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It is not my will, it is God's will to be done. It is not my organization or kingdom to be built, it is God's organization and kingdom to be built. Prayer puts us clearly in the place where we are receiving what God wants to give to us, not where what we are demanding of God in our own plans. Abraham Lincoln, who mentioned many times about his own prayer life, said at one time, I have been driven to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I've had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and all that about me seemed insufficient for the day. I had to pray. Abraham Lincoln, who was the president of probably the greatest kingdom at that point in the history of humanity, a kingdom in conflict, and he knew that unless God's kingdom came to us, we would not survive. Anselm of Canterbury said that God does not delay to hear our prayers because he has no mind to give, but that by enlarging our desires, he may give us even more largely. If you do not hear what God is answering in your prayers, it is because God may be trying to say, you aren't praying big enough. You aren't seeing the big kingdom picture. And I'm going to draw you into that huge reality of who I am and what God wants to do in the world. A big vision with big plans. A huge desire and passion. A great purpose. It is the kingdom of God that is brought because you pray. However, some of us resist that prayer, even because of our desire to do what we want to do and get God to come alongside of us. Aldous Huxley said, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer is repeated daily by millions who have not the slightest intention of letting anyone's will be done but their own. That's the question for you today. When you pray, are you expecting God to do your will? Or are you willing to get engaged with what God is doing and become a part of that kingdom? Jesus said that we should ask for our daily needs to be met. Nothing wrong with that. For our desire for relationship and love, the necessary money to be able to live, our work, our family. As one person said recently to me, I just need a hug because I don't have any human contact during the day. It's okay to ask for our basic needs to be met, for that relationship of providing for housing and health and food. Jesus said, ask for that, and God will provide. However, there's always an expectation in the prayer of what God wants to do to bring His kingdom in. The National Prayer Breakfast of 2006, Bono from U2 was the featured speaker, and he called the nation, he called the president, and he called the Congress to be more responsible for taking care of the poor in the world and for meeting the needs of people who were sick with AIDS. When we pray, God, meet my needs, there is a commitment to the kingdom of God in that prayer where God is calling us to meet other people's needs. Another request that this prayer makes is that we should ask to be forgiven. Each one of us at the core of our being knows the times and the places where we have done damage to another human being. Deep in our soul is a longing that we could be relieved from the guilt and the shame of those moments where we have abused another person. And God says, ask for forgiveness. But He connects it, and this is repeated in the teaching following the prayer. If you wish to be forgiven, then you must turn in your prayer and forgive those who you are angry with, those who have hurt you. Forgiveness is connected to a responsibility. Prayer is always a movement toward the action of forgiveness. If you don't forgive, this is the hard teaching of Jesus. If you don't forgive in this prayer, you will not be forgiven. Forgiveness in prayer is conditional. We know recently from the death of President Gerald Ford that there was a moment in his life when he turned in silent prayer to God and asked for wisdom, because every person around him was giving him different advice than what he believed he needed to do. He believed he needed to forgive President Nixon and pardon him, and all the flack that he took for doing it, and how history has validated that's exactly what the country needed, was a time of pardon and forgiveness. He prayed for wisdom. He prayed for forgiveness, and he was called upon to forgive. How much of our life together is really quietly a vindictive process of refusing to forgive, even though we constantly ask for God's forgiveness? A fifth point of the request in this prayer is that there is a request to keep us from evil. Lord, deliver us from evil and keep us from doing damage to other people. Prayer keeps us in touch with that which is good and aware of the things that could lead us in the wrong direction. Prayer puts us in touch with the good kingdom of God. God is a good Father. The kingdom is a good kingdom. A place where everyone is fed and taken care of. A place where everyone is forgiven and can forgive. A place where evil cannot reign. And every one of those aspects of the prayer leads to this final point, that if we pray for others and pray for ourselves, we will be kept from doing evil. Henri Nouwen said that prayer is an act of listening to God. It is also an act of obedience. That prayer leads us from listening to action. Unless we listen well, we will not act well. Today, when we take of the Lord's Supper, think of this as a paradigm of prayer. Jesus is at the table and the one who mediates our prayers to the Father. And Jesus is saying here at the table, His kingdom is come. His will is being done as He serves us, and we turn and serve each other. We are being fed, we are being forgiven, and we are being called away from evil. For it was that night when Jesus was in the midst of the disciples' evil that he prayed for them. And their evil did not overcome him. The table of Jesus Christ leads us to understand prayer and to do the mission of Jesus. Let us be a people of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of God the Father, we pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done, for your food to be shared with all, for your forgiveness to be given to all, and for evil to be confronted and kept from taking over the world. Teach us to pray. Amen.